complete that. If you can put it in the offering and it's passed along. So if you're visiting today, please fill that out for us. Good to see this good number. Second Sunday of January of 2024. God is so good to us. Let's turn to page 390 in your book. 390. Hello, Brother Mel. Let's stand as we sing together. There's power in the blood this morning.
Blood of the Lamb. put a little sunshine in. He put a little joy and gladness where sadness once had been. He gave a little love and glory and took away the doubt and sin. When Jesus took my heart out of pieces and he put a little sunshine in.
Everybody said amen. Yeah. If you know that he took your heart all to pieces and put a little sunshine in, say amen again. He did. And you are never the same after that. Never. Ever. Ever. It is so good to see all these beautiful smiling faces this morning. We have some folks visiting with us. If you are visiting, please fill out a visitor's card. There's one right there in front of you. You'll have time to do that if you hurry right now. Grab it. We got folks from way out of state and out of town. We'll introduce them to you in just a minute. But if you're visiting, please fill that card out. We'd like to let you know next week that we appreciated you being with us today. If you don't have a church home and you live in this area, please come back. We would love to treat you real good. We'll do that. Okay, we've got some folks absent today because of sickness and other things. I know that Lynn and Linda would love to be here this morning. Lynn's always here. But Lynn had some surgery this week that put him back a day or two. But if I know him, doctors tells him it'll be 3 to 6 months. He'll be 3 to 6 weeks. Maybe. See, I told you. Anthony knows. Okay, if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. If God's been good to you, return the favor. Amen? Because he has. He's always good. And he'll always will be good. Right, Chris? Tom, would you bless this offering, please? We have a special song for you this morning, and before she comes to do that, though, I'd like to welcome Scott and Banner McLeod with us today. Scott is Susie's son, and Banner is her grandson, and he's a dandy. Scott lives in Alabama. He's a good Christian man. He teaches Sunday school. He's missionary-minded. And more than that, now he's in my family. He's a good young man. Get to meet him before. Tom wants to put you on the prayer list, Scott. That'll be okay. Well, if there's anybody else that didn't fill out your card, please fill me one out and let me know, okay? We would love to let you know next week that we're so happy you're here. Jesse, would you come and share that song with us, please? For that blessing, honey. Well, y'all ready to get into the Word? After a song like that, you ought to be ready to get into the Word. You know, before they got into the Word in the Old Testament, they did a few psalms, and that got them into looking to the one that they're there to worship. And we're here to worship the God above. who gave us his only begotten son so that we could know what it's like to go to heaven one day. And my prayer today is that there's no one here that's not going. I pray every one of you knows Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't, the Holy Spirit will tug at your heart today and you'll know before you leave here if you're right with God. Well, we've been hearing a lot about Israel lately, haven't we? For quite some time now. I don't know if we really understand how important Israel is. Well, in Isaiah 43 today, we're going to find out how important Israel is. Israel's not important to this world, folks. In fact, Israel is hated by this world. And there's a reason for that. They hate Israel because they hate God. They don't want God in your schools. They don't want prayer in the schools. They don't want the Word of God in schools because it's a power bigger than they are. And they can't understand it and they can't do anything about it. That's just the way it is. It's the way God set it up, and that's the way it is. But we're going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah. And if you would like to read with me, you go right ahead. If you don't have your Bibles with you, the word should be up here on the board. But now, I like it when it starts out that way, because now I know he's going to tell me something. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Claimed them. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, for my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Don't pass that up. I'm going to read another verse. Don't pass that up. When he said all of that, he said, that they may be justified, let them hear and say. Let them hear and say what? It is truth. It is truth. What does he say about the truth? The truth will. Oh, it will. And the truth will stand when the world's on fire, folks. When everything's going to hell in a handbucket, as we say, it'll stand. Verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am, you got to say it when I don't say it, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm going to read verse 11 too. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me There is no Savior. None. Let's bow our heads and ask God to give us what we need to leave this building today and be a better witness for Him than we ever have in our life. Lord, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for this time to be here this morning. Lord, You've been good to us. You have been so good to us. And we know that You're not going to stop because You said You wouldn't. You said You would always be there. Even to the end of the world, You said You'd be there. And Lord, we believe You. And we want to go out and be witnesses for You today. We want to be there and be as faithful to You as You are to us. We're going to praise You for everything You do in this service this morning. We ask, Lord, that You guide and direct us to be everything we can be. In Jesus' name, amen. Israel was shown a special love by God. And you say, well, did He love them any more than He loves me? I said He had a special love for them. It's a different love. You know, you can love people differently. There's different levels of love in your heart for different people. We know that. And Israel was a very special people to Him because they were His. That makes them special. And if you're a child of God today, you're special. You're special. He loves you different than He loves the world. He loves you different than He does the person who has never received His Son as Savior. Does He love that lost person? Sure does. He loves them. But boy, does He really love you. Do you know that you love your children more than you love somebody else's children? Now, don't go getting self-righteous on me here and say, no, I love everybody the same. No, you don't. No, you don't. I can assure you, I've seen you with your children. And I've seen you with other children. You don't treat them the same. You give your children more time. You give your children more of the things of life that are good for them. You're not going to go buy things for everybody's children all the time, are you? You're not going to somebody's house and say, could I hug your children? No. You have your children with you. You're going to hug them because they're yours. God gave them to you. Amen? Amen. By the way, it's good to see my little gal Dominique here today. And we're praying for you, honey. Amen. Lord, we love you. And we want that baby to be born healthy, just like your other two. She's a good mama. And God's a good God. And He's good to His people, Israel. He's good to His children who are here today. So God promised protection. He promised deliverance to His people. Remember, you can go back as far as you want to. And He promised this to them because they were His. Well, today we're going to find out that He redid that. Not that He took it away. He just every once in a while says, I want to remind you. I want to remind you that I love you. I want to remind you that you have my protection. I want to remind you that you have my deliverance. Now, deliverance don't just come when you get saved. Deliverance continues to come because there are times in our life when we need to be delivered from something, and God looks down and He sees you and He knows exactly what you need to be delivered from. And He does it because He's God. Now, this was a renewal promise in Isaiah 43 for their protection and for their deliverance. Now, I'm going to be preaching this message because this is to the Jews, folks. But at the same time, it is for us. There are some things that belong to the Jews you don't give to the church. It's different, and we can't do that. But there are some things that are given to the Jews that are parallel for the church, and this is one of those. This scripture is parallel for the church, and we're going to see that. The things He promised His people Israel, He promises His children the church. So the scattered Israelites, I think if you were here Wednesday night, you understood something about the scattered Israelites. James knew about the scattered ones, didn't he? He loved the scattered ones, and he wanted to write them a letter and say, listen, you've got to know these things. If you're going to be able to survive in that old world, you got to know these things. And he was giving it to them. So we have the scattered Jews or the scattered Israelites, but one day they're going to be brought back together, and you've heard this all your life. They're going to be brought back together from all the ends of the earth. I just read it for you. From all the ends of the earth, east, west, north, and south. But they're going to be brought back by the power of God. It will not be by any power here on earth that they'll be brought back. You say, oh, but I think there are ways and means to get them back. No, they'll go back the way God wants them to go back. And they'll go back when he says he wants them back. The things that God gave the Israelites does not belong to you automatically forever. There are some things that belong to you, the church, that will not be given to the Jews. But we are a special people, and they are a special people. But what is said here today in from Isaiah 43 is going to be perfectly true for the church. And I say perfectly true because everything I give you that God has done for Israel, he will do for you. He loves you. And he's not going to stop loving you. Well, let's look here at these verses of Scripture. I'm going to take the majority of the 11 that I read to you. I'm going to take the majority of the 11, and I'm going to bring things out of them and make some points so that you can see what he was to the Israelites. And here is number one. If we're in number one, we got to be in verse one, right? So we're going to verse 1 of 43, and I will read it again because now I want to put a little emphasis on it. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Now he's the one who's talking. So if the one who's talking to you is the one who created you, are you going to listen? Now you're not going to say, yes, I think I will, maybe I will. No, you got to nail it down here. You're going to listen to him. He's got to be that important to you because he created you. He said, that I created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now, those are still the same person. You know about Jacob and Esau. We know about Esau after Jacob, and he was going to kill him, and Jacob ran, and he had a dream, and we all know about the dream, and we all know about that. But he had to wrestle with God, and after he wrestled with God, God changed his name to Israel. The both words mean differently, but it's the same person. So when somebody speaks of Jacob and Israel, it's all the same person. He says, I created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. It's who he's talking to. And he said to them, fear not. Now that's by itself. If you look at that, it's by itself. Fear not. He does not want you to go through this life with fear. He did not want his Israelites to go through life fearing. Fearing what? Well, everybody in the world was after them to kill them, to destroy them off of the face of the earth. Has that changed? It hasn't changed, folks. They're surrounded by countries who want them annihilated. Is that going to happen? I can assure you it will never happen. You say, but oh, there's great powers around them and they've got all kinds of weapons and that's such a little place. No, it's not. It's such a powerful place because God has his shield over it. And I can assure you that no nation's going to take Israel down because he says here in verse 1, fear not. They need to know this. Don't you let all this stuff that's going on around you, what you hear and what you see, be fearful to you. He said, for I have redeemed thee. What does that mean? Same thing it means for you. He bought them. He bought them. He paid the price for them to get out of Egypt and go and do what he wants them to do in the world. He says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Well, are they purchased? As much as I can see, anything that I have purchased, I feel like it's mine. Now, that's on earthly terms. Somebody could take that away in a heartbeat, just break in your doors and take what you got. But not with God, not what he's telling them. What he's telling them is, you are mine, and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to deliver you from anything that happens to you. Now, let's get into it just a tad better. So we know now that Jacob and Israel are the same people. Kind of like the clay that I was talking about, where he takes the clay and he takes that big old blob of ugly looking clay and he forms it and he makes of it what he wants it to be. And we take that to mean that our lives can be the same way. He takes that old ugly clay. And by the way, every one of us is an ugly piece of clay. So that should make you feel on a level this morning. We're all ugly pieces of clay. But God takes in his hands your life, and he creates you different than, from everybody else. I don't see two people in here that look alike. And I'm looking at every one of you. They're not, because God took that old ugly piece of clay and he made something beautiful out of it. And if you're wondering if you're the most beautiful one in here, no, but you're on a level. There's nobody more beautiful than you. Because, see, you came from the eyes of God. He created you. Don't ever get caught up in the way this world wants to see beauty and wants to see good looks, because that's not the way it is. It's not. Don't get caught up in that. When God created you, he said, man, that's good. And he clapped. He said, they're beautiful. They're special. They're mine. And that's what he was telling Israel. You're mine. Thou art mine. He was very plain about it. Now, he's given Israel a name, which means that he had an encounter with God. Now, let me just tell you, when you have an encounter with God, you're going to know it. Amen. And the same way he said to them, thou art mine, when you have an encounter with God, he won't let you leave him. By the way, we need more encounters with God. Yes. Amen. We do. When you have that encounter with God, you will never leave his presence. He will never leave your presence until he makes sure that you know that you are his. He doesn't want you to leave that presence of him and go away with fear in your heart that something that's happening in your life you won't be able to get through. There is nothing in your life you can't get through with him, because he is yours and he has all power in heaven and in earth. Jews were redeemed out of Egypt. You and I, by the way, when he redeemed them, he claimed them. You're mine. I'm going to take care of you. Nobody's going to have you. So have we been redeemed from the bondage of sin and Satan. Different redeeming, but redeeming means redeeming. He bought us with a price. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought. You don't have to worry about how you're going to get through. He's going to take you through, because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him, and he'll take care of what belongs to him. So we've been delivered differently than the Jews were delivered, but it's all the same. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. We're delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, claimed by our Redeemer as his own purchased possession. Purchased possession. Linda, that sounds good. Purchased possession. Do you feel like you're his right now? You better feel like you're his right now, because I can't go to number two here until you get number one. Right? You're purchased. Put it in the book. Nail it down. You're purchased. Well, let's go to verse two. You like verse two, don't you? Because that's following verse one. And it gets better. Could I tell you it gets better? It gets gooder and gooder. They are preserved. Not only are they purchased and belong to him, you are now preserved. I know that some of y'all know about preserves. You know, back in the old days, we got a few ways of sealing stuff and preserving it now than we used to, but they used to use paraffin a lot to pour on whatever they were preserving so that it didn't lose anything. You know, being preserved is a huge thing. Yeah, maybe you never thought about being preserved, but you are. If you're a child of God, you're preserved. The Israelites, they were preserved. Being preserved means you're going to get through whatever happens to you. Now, there are different things that are mentioned in the Bible that has to do with the troubles and trials of this old life down here. In verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters. Don't ever miss that, because when he says, when thou passest through the waters, he's talking about all the problems and troubles of this old life. So he says, I will be with thee. Don't worry about it. It's okay. You may pass through them. I'm going to be there with you. And through the rivers, water, they shall not overflow thee. How many of y'all have ever been swimming in a river? Nolichucky. I'll just say Nolichucky. If you've ever been swimming in Nolichucky, you get out there in that water and you remember right away that that's an Indian name for dangerous waters. And you don't get out there without some fear, right? You're going to have a little bit of fear. If you don't, you're crazy. Better be careful when you get out in the Nolichucky. But he says, when you're passing through the rivers, just to let you know, when you're passing through the rivers, he says, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. They shall not overflow thee. I can remember swimming in Nolichucky, and I used to have these little fears of going down and getting caught in one of those sinkholes down in there and going to China or wherever it goes. But he says, don't worry about it. When you're going through the waters, this old life, through the rivers, you don't have to be worried because I'm going to be there with you. You're not going to be overflowed. And when thou walkest through the fire, you know fire also has to do with your problems and troubles. I know that some of you said, I've been in the fire this week. I've had my problems and my troubles. I've been in the fire. He says, well, let me tell you something. When you're walking through the fire, by the way, did you notice this? You're not standing still. Huh? There is no standing still, folks. When you get in the fire, just keep moving. Because if you let fear freeze you up, You're in trouble. He says, keep on walking. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Didn't use burned up or anything like that. He just said, won't be burned. You're not going to get burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When you have problems this next week coming up, it's going to be different than last week. You're going to see some things come into your life this coming week that you didn't last week, because life is that way. There's water and fire everywhere. There is. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Do you believe he'll be with you in the morning? When you get up in the morning, you don't have to wonder about it or think about it in the morning. You can go ahead and think about it today. I can assure you that today you can go into tomorrow knowing that he's with you. Go right on through the water. Go right on through the fires of your life. You say, what are the water and fires of my life? Well, if you don't know that answer to that question, I can't help you. Because, see, it's not the same for me as it is for you. What's bothering you? What are you afraid of? What's going on in your life that you can't handle? I see your thoughts right now. There's more than I want to deal with, because I can see I got my own. You look at me and you say, well, you don't have problems. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. And they may be a little different than you, but they're still water and fire. And he says, don't you worry about it. The water and the fire, it'll be taken care of. So he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. They're preserved as they can be. Nothing's going to happen to them. They went through things. Well, y'all remember the story of the three Hebrew children, right? How they went through the fire. Well, that's just one case of the fire. Israel has gone through more things, because the fire they've gone through is not the furnace that the king set up for them. The fire that they go through is this world of fire. Nowhere can they go and get away from the problems of this life, because it's already theirs. The water and the fire is theirs. But God says, don't you worry about it. You just hang on to me. I'll take you through it. So how are they able to go through all this water and fire? The same way you'll be able to do it. Because he told them very plainly, I am with thee. Now that's your inner tube if you're on the river. Okay? I am with thee. So it is with me. So it is with you. Those who have been born again. Now don't fool yourself. If you've never been saved, don't try to hide in your own salvation. If you figured out a way that you can meet God and it's not by the way he said to do it in the Word of God, don't fool yourself and say, okay, he's with me. If you haven't gone the right way, don't you dare use that as your excuse to be okay. You can't do that, because the longer you hang on to that, the deeper you're going to get into unbelief, and it's going to be a hard road to hoe. Make sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ through repentance of sin. Confess those old things. Get them out of the way. Repent of them and let him forgive you. And then you can say, he's with me. He is truly with me. He's not going to be with you like he's going to be with the child of God. He's not. Don't fool yourself. I know that sounds really good and warm and fuzzy, that God's going to be with everybody. He's not going to be with everybody the same way he is with his children or his people. It's not going to happen. So, he says you're preserved. Now, to be preserved, let me give you this, and then I'll move on to number three. To be preserved means to be sealed. Now, to be sealed means that you're sealed. When you're sealed safe. You're safe from decay. You're safe from any harm that might come to you. There's nothing going to get in, because sealed means sealed. There's no way anything can get out or anything can get in. You're sealed. You're one of his. When he said, I am with thee, he sealed you. You're his. Okay, let's move right along. Go skip verse 3, going to go to verse 4. Y'all like that, don't you? Verse 4, he says, since thou wast precious in my sight. From the very beginning is what he's saying. From the very beginning you were precious. I've watched you. I go back to children all the time, because I've watched people with their children. Your child was precious to you when it was born. The day it was born and you held that baby in your arms. And for some of you, I've been there in the room with you when you took that newborn baby and held it. And I saw the look on your face and the look on that precious little baby's face. And I knew that baby was precious to you. And you say, well, I'm over it now. When they get 2 and 3 year old, well, I didn't really want to make you that precious. No. As they get older, they're more precious. You're more protective all the time, because there are more things that you need to protect them of. The older they get, the more things you need to protect them of. And the Lord knows that the farther along we go in this Christian life, the more things he needs to protect us of. And he does. Just like he did his children Israel. So he says, thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. I have loved thee. Doesn't mean he stopped, just means he's continuing. I have from the beginning, I'm going to continue. Therefore, he said, that's what this is there for, will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Nobody is going to come before you and him. Nobody. He personalizes it. You say, well, what about all these other Christians? It's their personal life too. He personalizes everyone in here. You're separated out, every one of you. There's no two in here alike, never will be. He's going to love you, love you, love you. He's going to protect you, protect you, protect you. He's going to deliver you, deliver you, deliver you. From whatever you need, he's there for you. Take a look. That's what he said. Israel was a wayward people. Now, I know that we can't say this about this old world today, but they were. They were very wayward. That was, by the way, using that term lightly. No, this world is worse. Wayward. Wayward means away from. Away from. If we haven't gone away from God, I don't know how we could describe it any other way. We're a wayward people. Israel was a wayward people. But you know what was really... And I'm not just talking about the ones who are lost, folks. I'm talking about Christians have become a wayward people. We've allowed the world to seep into our homes and our lives and create a wayward people. We can't do that. But you know, even though we do, he still loves you. Israel was a wayward people, backsliding people. There's that good old word you don't like. A backsliding people, but they were. And he continued to love them and take care of them and do whatever they needed for their lives. So it is with you who are born again. He loves you. You say, well, if he's going to continue to love me and it's going to be okay for me to live the way I want to, and I can tell you this right now, if that's the way you're thinking, you need to take another look at your salvation. Because it's not about what you can get by with. It's what you are in him. That's who he loves. Who you are in him. How precious are you? Well, let's let him tell us, okay? Because for the Israelites, this was the mystery. They were so up and down. You read about them. They were so up and down, he would take them to a high and they'd go to a low. He'd take them to another high and they'd go to a low. Like a lot of us, but to them it was there. But he never superficially loved anybody. This is a personal thing between me and Doris Beaton. We always, don't look at me like that, Doris. We always talk about how can you know that you're one of his. Tell us, Doris. You love the brethren. Well, you see, that's how they're going to know that you're saved, that you love the brethren. And you got to love the brethren, right? If you don't love the brethren, you're not one of his. So we're forced to love the brethren. Now, I grant you that there are some people that you have to force yourself to love. It's not that way with God. He has an agape love that he loves you no matter what. Now, you tell me, how are you going to treat that love? If he loves you like that, isn't that powerful? That he continues to love you even though you treat him like a dog? Well, not my dogs. But we treat him terrible, and he loves you anyway. How could you treat that wrongly? If you can, what kind of person does that make you that you can treat him awful when he treats you so well? That no matter how you are, he's the same. He'll never change. Never. He never loves superficially. In fact, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he saves to the uttermost. You know that song. Save to the uttermost. And I know that I am. Huh? Save to the uttermost. I don't know where uttermost is. I just know it's so big and so powerful. It's so away from me. It's so big I can't retain it. He saves me to the uttermost. And he also saves me and delivers me. The word abundance, does that come to be a word that you... when he gave me life and my salvation, when he gave me life, he didn't just give me enough to get me through the day or the week or the month. He gave me in abundance. Go look that word up. See what it means, because it means a lot. In this case, he placed you in the body of Christ, his son. Now, wait a minute. Can you understand that? I don't care if you can understand or not. I just want you to try to understand it. Because if you can try to understand it, it will vacuum you in to where he wants you to be. That you've been saved to the uttermost, and he gave life to you abundantly, which means there is no end to that. It's wonderful. It's great. It's most marvelous thing that could ever happen to you. Whew, how good is he? We are his workmanship. Got that from us Wednesday night also, by the way. Sometimes I have to remind you of things you get on Wednesday night so you can come back next Wednesday night. That we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which he hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. But I had to share this with you, and I'm going to take time to do it. In Ephesians, you want to go there with me? I'll let you go there with me. Ephesians 1, 6, and 7, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, get with me here. I've taken you to a point to where you ought to be able to lift a hand or get a feeling in you that you didn't have when you came in here. You know that everything I've said is the gospel truth, because it's not my truth, it's his truth. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's my position. I'm there. Then he says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Are you willing to pay for anything with your own blood? I'm not. I know that the life is in the blood, and I know that my body, without my blood flowing through my blood flowing through my body is going to die. That's what's going to happen to it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, that precious blood, that eternal blood, that life-giving blood, that sin-covering blood, everything his blood is to us, he says, I have bought you through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He said, here's the rule. The rule is mine. I'm going to save you to the uttermost. I'm going to give you life abundantly. You will never want for anything. Just like he told the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Never. Never. Okay, let's move right along. Verse 5 and 6, we're moving out, going straight to 7. Even everyone that is called by my name. Now, it doesn't mean you can dismiss 6 and 7. 5 and 6, go home and read them, okay, because it's good stuff. I'm just moving on because I have a time frame. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. If you want to do a devotion sometime for a group that says, would you do devotions, take this verse right here and do the devotion. Because he says it, three things happen here. He says, I have created him. Keep the clay in mind here. I have created him for my glory. That's the beginning point. If there's going to be an ending point to this thing, and there is, by the way, there has to be a beginning point. And the beginning point was, he created him. He creates out of nothing, folks. You and I have to get things to create things, right? We got to have the materials in our hands if we're going to create anything. Not God. He doesn't need anything to create what he's going to create. And he says, I have created him for my glory. And you say, well, that's kind of selfish of him, isn't it? Nope. Sure not. He's God. We need to start treating him like God. Don't treat him like one of us who's going down to the mall with us to go shopping or something. That's not my God. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of everything in your life that's worth anything. And he says, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. You see, he created, now he's forming. Do you realize that right now while you're sitting here, while you're listening to his word, he's forming you? You think he's through forming you? No. There was a little song our kids used to sing, 4 feet 11 going to heaven. No, that ain't it. What you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew there was one in there somewhere. He's still working on me. Now, we say that's a children's song. Well, let them sing it, but you better believe it. Because he's still working on you. He created you. He's forming you. That's what he said. I have formed him. But then he said, yay, I have made him. Now, the word made means it's completed. It's completed to perfection. He started you. He's working on you. He's going to get you to that point where he can say, I think it's time to come on to glory. Yeah. Come on up, because that's how you're going to go in. Yes. He's going to do it, folks. Watch that verse of scripture. It's wonderful. It's good for you. In other words, you're a privileged character. If you've ever wanted to be a privileged character, this is how you get to be one. You accept his son as your savior. Realize that he created you. He's forming you every day that you get up. He's got his hands on your life, and he's molding you and making you what you need to be. So you're privileged. I have created him for my glory. The nation Israel we're talking about here. But we are his workmanship. We have been made what we ought to be. Then in verse 10. Verse 10. So you see, all those other verses were so we could get to verse 10. Because if you don't realize this, you don't realize why God gave me the title of this message, The Church, comma. Know a little bit about English. The church, comma, separates it a little bit so we can say witnesses for God. That's what you are. If you're one of his, you're in his church, you are a witness for him. You can't be anything else. You are. Now, whether you're a poor witness or a good witness, that's all up to you. But you are. And I think if he's made us, he's given us that position to be witnesses, we ought to treat it very carefully and very special, because it is. He says they are powerful. Did you know that a witness is powerful? Let me just show you how that's so. Because he said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Now lock these things in. That ye may know and believe me. Wow. That ye may know and believe me. Put the mayonnaise on the sandwich here. You can't have a complete sandwich so you get the mayonnaise on there, right? Then you can throw the tomato and lettuce and all that good stuff on it. But we got to complete this sandwich. We're completing the sandwich right now, folks. He says, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am. Is that the best you can do? If you expect me to get excited and get loud with you, you get excited and get loud with me. Yeah, thank you. Did I say that with love? I hope you got it with love. People look at me and they say, got your mama's eyes. Your eyes don't dilate like normal people. I got them little bitty eyes, and when I look at people, sometimes they get scared. I love you. And he says, I love you. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am. That was a little better. Before me there was no God formed. Oh, why would he say that? Because he knows we create gods. That's about our gods, folks. He is the only God. There is none above him. He says that there was no God formed. So you can't form one. Only he can form. No God formed, neither shall there be after me. Never will be. Where does he stand in your life? If you're one of his witnesses, what kind of witness are we? I'm going to use the word we. What kind of witness are we? A witness is one, watch this because this is good stuff. A witness is one who has sufficient knowledge to compose the truth. Have you ever seen a song in the songbook that says composed by? You've seen that, composed by. That means this person wrote it with knowledge of what he was writing about. That's what it means. Put it together, composed it. You can't be a good witness unless you have sufficient knowledge. Oh, watch this. Unless you have sufficient knowledge of the one you're witnessing for. So where do you get that? Oh, right here. Right here. If you want to be a better witness, be a better reader and studier of the Word of God. Because that's where you're going to get your knowledge of him. That's where you're going to be that better witness. That's what he's saying to us. Knowledge for a witness. Oh, I can tell you this. It's a power that cannot be ignored. I would love to get about 20 or 30 people who were sold out to be witnesses for God and realize the power that's in them, the one they're witnessing for, and know that this world cannot put that down. That is the strongest thing in the, just like the love of, that God had for his children Israel was so strong that this world can't do anything about it, so it is with your life. If you're going to be a good witness, you got to know who you're witnessing for. Know that he loved you and that you love him. The Jews had the oracles of God. You've heard that. The Jews had the oracles of God. You know what we have? We have, yes, we do, the Holy Spirit of God. That's a woo! We do. We have the Holy Spirit of God, just like they had the oracles, the Word of God that they could go and say, this is the Word of God. Go back and read your Old Testament. Every time a prophet got up to say something, he was talking about the Word of God. He wasn't talking about his own. It was powerful for him. When you go out to be a witness, just know that you're going out to give this whole world what can change their life. Nothing can change their life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. And he'll give you the power you need to be exactly that. Amen. How good is that? Well, I read verse 11 after I said that it would be 1 to 10, if you remember. And I want to do that one more time now that we've gone through this whole thing. He said, I. Now, God's saying this, folks. And he's saying it to us right now. I am the Lord. Whew. I am the Lord. Even I. There's no one else. And beside me, there is no Savior. None. None. I want to be a better witness for him. He's everything to me. Most powerful thing in my life is my knowledge of him to share with someone else. We have an obligation as his children. But more than an obligation, we should have a love that will cause us to go and do it. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're thankful. Thankful for everything you've done for us this morning. God, you're so good. You are so good. And you'll never cease being good to us. You'll never cease being our Savior, our Deliverer, our protection.
Lord, you'll never cease being everything that we need. And we want to notice you today. We want to put you on a high where you belong, above everything. And as we leave here, we're going to leave here thanking you. If there's a person in this building today that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, Lord, may they do that right now as we sing a verse of song. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.